Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, MSU presents a symposium focused on a gene mutation linked to sudden cardiac death on the 25th. We get a preview. We talk about a fifth grader dressing up as Mr. Rogers in honor of his birthday. We talk about the book Barren, A Shared Journey of Infertility, Loss, and Faith. And we talk about the organization Revive and Thrive, bringing meals to those in our community navigating a health crisis.
There's a mini symposium that will focus upon a mutation in the PLN gene linked to sudden cardiac death and heart failure. You know we're taking that apart with only the best. I appreciate you, Dr. Allison Kuipers, Vice Chair of Basic and Translational Research in the Department of Medicine at MSU College of Human Medicine. Good morning to you, Dr. Kuipers.
Good morning.
Thank you for you. Dr. Charles Hong, can I call you Chaz?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Hong Chaz, Chair of the Department of Medicine at MSU College of Human Medicine. Wow, thanks for what you do. Appreciate this. Wednesday is a big day for both of you when it comes to this mutation, particularly prevalent among individuals of Dutch ancestry. So I want to get right into our conversation. Thank you for your leadership. What is this PLN gene, and why is this mutation so significant?
So our heart uses calcium as electrical fuel to pump. And so during each cardiac cycle, calcium goes up and down within our heart cells. PLN gene encodes a protein called phospholamban that serves as a brake, a sort of a dimmer switch, so that this calcium flux, calcium changes don't go out of control. In these patients with a mutation, the PLN mutation protein is overactivated. So the dimmer switch is always dimmed. And so as a result, the heart function becomes weaker and the heart gets larger. And there's a lot of electric rhythm disorders that can lead to sudden cardiac death.
Yes, thank you for that. Phospholamban, correct?
Yes.
Important medical terminology was important to take at one point. Would you add to that, Dr. Kuipers?
It's a really important mutation in particular in the Dutch ancestry, the one that we're going to talk about at our symposium. And so it's important because we know a lot of people in the West Michigan have the Dutch ancestry and so are potentially at higher risk of having this mutation. We know that it's Dutch because the original mutation started in the Netherlands from an area called Friesland, which I imagine some of our listeners are familiar with, between 12 and 1400. That means that anybody who is descendant from that individual may be at risk of having this particular mutation. So, you know, that's really why we're trying to build our community awareness and things in this West Michigan region, since we know in the 19th century so many Dutch immigrants settled here. In fact, at our symposium, we're going to have a little mini talk about that immigration, which I think might be of interest to the local community as well.
Getting our history as well. I'll get into the specifics of Wednesday, but let me ask, are there screening recommendations for individuals who might be at higher risk, and perhaps what's the future of early risk detection look like?
Actually, that's a very important question because PLN cardiomyopathy is a genetic condition. It's inherited in a dominant fashion, which means that if your mother or brother or your parents or siblings have it, you have a 50-50 chance of getting it. The difficult part here is that unlike other genetic diseases, where it manifests as a childhood, this heart disease presents late, about 30s or 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. So vast majority of people with this condition would not even know that this is a familial condition. And so raising awareness would be very important.
And there are screening opportunities available.
Yes, especially at a leading institutions like Corwell's Meyer Heart and Vascular Institute. We have the capabilities.
Right in our own backyard, such talent. Let's talk about the symposium. It's a mini symposium. It is Wednesday, This went March 25th, noon to 4 p.m. I'll let you start, Dr. Kuipers.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. We're excited to have this symposium. We're bringing people from the Netherlands, including the leader of the PLN Foundation, Dr. Peter Glynnis. And they are coming to help sort of bring their campaign, which has been really successful in the Netherlands, to the West Michigan region to raise awareness. We are also having a patient panel, which actually has two different patients from the North American PLN Foundation, who are local and are going to come and tell us about their stories. I also talked about the history lesson and then also some medical talks as well for our local medical community who might be interested in learning more about this and some of the signs and what needs to happen with patients in the area.
Remind me how these patients were identified and their role in this research.
Just from being a part of the North American PLN Foundation, Dr. Jansen is the secretary of the board and Kaylee Overberger is actually their social media manager. So it'll be important to see kind of different walks of life and how, people who didn't even know it was possible to have this kind of heart condition ended up having, such a significant medical condition that they'll have to deal with for the rest of their life. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Dr. Hong, again, Wednesday, March 25th, noon to 4 at your wonderful Sekia Center. Talk to me about the collaborators involved.
Yeah, actually, if you don't mind, I think the screening aspect of it is actually quite important.
Yes.
A vast majority of people with this condition probably don't even know they have it because it presents in not just at heart failure, but also sudden cardiac death. Oftentimes, and it coincides with an age when people can die of just a regular garden variety heart attack. This is actually very different. So if you have somebody in your first degree relative who had a sudden death, unexplained death, or a heart failure that is not caused by coronary artery disease, they should be screened for possible inherited heart condition. Anyway, let me go back to our collaborations.
No, thank you for that. I mean, heart disease is still the number one killer.
It is.
For men and women.
And so, it brings together the Corwell Health and Michigan State College of Human Medicine, two of the leading institutions in the world. And we are a partner to find out what makes our loved ones get sick. And by understanding what makes us get sick, there's a hope that we could actually figure out how to treat them in a personalized manner. And it's really an interesting and a very important endeavor we've actually embarked together.
Yes. Who do you need in your audience, Dr. Kuipers?
Right. So we are excited to have the local community come. And also, I want to just put in one more pitch. There's a free lunch and validated parking. So no reason not to show up. Yeah. But as far as for the medical community, we're really excited to also begin to think about what's our next step. What can we do with research? There's, the two main areas would be the fact that we need to figure out how to identify people before they have these life-threatening conditions and so that we can watch them closely with their cardiologists. So we expect to have a number of cardiologists in the audience as well. And then the second area that we didn't touch on too much is, unfortunately, there's not actually a cure. There's treatments and symptom management and things like that, but there's no real cure for it. So that's really one of the areas that we're hoping to begin a journey of research in this local West Michigan community between Corwell, as well as some investigators at Van Andel Institute and MSU, and hopefully find something that might even be a cure for this condition that currently has no cure available.
Yes, yet you have hopes for additional research collaborations?
Yeah, exactly. So hoping to identify ways that we can look at families perhaps that are going to be at high risk, look at ways that we might be able to treat individuals early, and again, just find a cure for this Dutch particular mutation and perhaps other mutations related to the PLN gene.
Dr. Hong, we'll call you Chaz. I feel like I need to call you Charles.
I go by Chaz.
Okay, Chaz is good. How do we register in your final comment?
The registration will be in our website, and hopefully we'll be able to share that with you. I think for me, even though I'm a scientist and a doctor, I'm also kind of curious. I had never heard of Friesland until this. I'm really looking forward to learning about the Dutch diaspora to Western Michigan.
Good. You can learn something new, even though you're
yes.
one smart and talented cookie, as they say. MSU.edu for more information in general, I think.
Yep.
Good enough?
Right. Yep. Perfect. Thanks so much.
All right. Appreciate this. Again, Wednesday, March 25th, noon to 4, Secchia Center. Get involved and get to know your heart. Thank you all. Dr. Charles Chaz Hong, Dr. Allison Kuipers. Go green.
Go white.
Well, very soon, Mr. Rogers has a birthday. Of course, Mr. Rogers, very well known here in our land of NPR, PBS, and more important to make sure that his legacy stays with us forever. And I think that's going to help with the next generations. And one of those generations will be, well, sporting the likes of a Mr. Rogers outfit, for lack of better terms. I turn to you. You're in fifth grade. Liam Chasey, good morning to you.
Morning.
Thank you for you. And, of course, what's your favorite subject in fifth grade? Let's just go there.
Math.
What is that?
Math.
Math. Oh, you're going to be a scientist. Thank you for that. All right. What are you doing when it comes to dressing up as Mr. Rogers? And I think you'll be doing that tomorrow.
It would be my 100th day at school.
Wow.
So we dress up like old
people. Tell us a little bit more about what that actually means.
My 100th day of school. It's just, they call it the Centennial Day.
Wow, Centennial Day. Very nice. Why have you chosen to dress like him at school?
Because he describes an old person.
That's very nice. Describe your outfit.
I'm wearing a gray wig, a red cardigan, a tie, a white dress shirt, and khaki pants.
And how did you help, how did you best find the fit for Mr. Rogers? Did you get a little help on the side?
Yeah, I got help from my mom. We watched a couple episodes to see what he wore.
Let me just ask you, what'd you think of the episodes you watched?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll accept that. We'll accept that response. So how will the day work as you head back to school tomorrow after today's snow day?
How will it work?
Do you wear your outfit all day long?
Probably, yes.
Are there contests or anything such that you have to let everyone know who you are and why you dressed up as Mr. Rogers?
I think everyone will recognize who he is immediately.
Speaking with Mom, important to know that. So, how can we all learn a little bit more about Mr. Rogers if somebody asks you that, Liam? Maybe watch the
videos.
Show. How's that? In rerun form. What else would you like to share with us, Liam?
He's kind and be more like him.
Ooh, I like that. I appreciate that. Mom, let me talk to you a little bit online. Tell me a little bit more about this whole opportunity for Liam to choose Mr. Rogers.
Well, they do Centennial Day every other year at his school. And we just wanted to pick a recognized figure. So we did him. And it's not required to do a celebrity, just however you want to dress as an elderly person.
Yeah. And what was your reaction as parents, knowing that he wanted to kind of represent a figure that's known to be nice, genuine, and more?
Well, I kind of picked it for him, but he was game. He's up for anything usually when it comes to dressing up.
And of course, as we speak, he'll get to let's just say class, and it'll be an all-day Mr. Rogers for Liam.
It will.
Liam, what do you have to say to others, back to that great answer you provided of being kind? How important is it to be kind in closing?
It's a lot.
Very
important.
Nice. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A baseball player.
All right, a baseball player needs to know a lot of math, so there you are. Liam, thank you very much for serving as a Mr. Rogers role model as you dress up for a centennial at your wonderful school as a fifth grader. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shelley.
Heather Levine in studio. New author in the community, releasing her first book, Barren, A Shared Journey of Infertility, Loss, and Faith. I look forward to hearing your story. Good morning to you, great Heather.
Hey, Shelley. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you opening up your journey as you know others are in this world, probably as you speak. What does your book explore? Let's get right into this.
Yeah, so the book really explores the journeys that women of the Bible took through infertility. A lot of them are unknown. And then I weave kind of my own story throughout it.
Would you share a bit of your own story?
Yeah. So my husband and I kind of had a long journey with infertility and loss as well. So about a 10-year journey, initially first struggling with primary infertility, then having multiple miscarriages, and then secondary infertility as well.
Yes. How is life today?
So, you know, out of the grace of God and the beauty of science, we have three kids. So we have a set of twins that are 10. I have a four-year-old. During my day, I usually will practice as a nurse practitioner. I'm taking a little break right now as I'm releasing the book. So kind of just have my hands pretty full.
With your background in medicine, nurse practitioner, you knew the anatomy, you knew the science, and yet the personal part most likely was a struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, really being in the medical community, I had a greater breadth of knowledge, understanding kind of what people were talking about. But then at the same point, really still being the patient, really still experiencing the fear and unknowns and the anxiety and really the deep grief that everybody experiences. That is no different for, that was not a different journey for me than it was for, you know, anybody out in the community that might be traveling on this road.
Yes, I know your work, Barren, is out ready for pre-order. The Shared Journey. Talk to me about the subtitle here.
Yeah, so I think the thing about the Bible is a lot of times we just look at it as an ancient book, right? Like we're just like, well, that's for them back there. It doesn't really apply to me anymore to modern day today. We have different technology and different advances in science and things like that. And while that's true, I think that there's a greater theme throughout the Bible of God really providing the peace that passes understanding, providing an anchor of hope, providing his, you know, really radical love in some of these families. You know, as I studied some of these women, we see the Lord really come down for them. We see a great love for them. And I think even in the Bible, they had a curse associated with infertility. And today, I don't think necessarily we're on that same plane, but there certainly is an amount of shame that a lot of women will experience as, you know, we're kind of walking in this journey. You hear a lot of things that people will say, you know, why don't you just adopt? Or, you know, it's just not your right time. Go take a vacation. You just need to relax, right? And so I think that is really a shared thread between the Bible and our current day women. You know, we still carry a good amount of disgrace and shame associated with this condition.
And you probably see that with your parents. Give me an example of one of your women in the Bible.
Yeah, so Hannah is one I think that's really accessible to a lot of people. So Hannah's kind of midway through the Old Testament. So we discover that she is, you know, experiencing cyclical grief on a regular basis just because she's going up to the temple, she's going up with her husband, and there is another wife as well, Peninnah, besides Hannah. And Peninnah really provokes Hannah a lot. Like she just is constantly saying to her, you know, clearly you can't have babies. I'm the better wife here. I've had a son for our husband. You can't have any sons. And I think in that moment, right, like as we're experiencing something, whether it's you know, infertility or whether it's just a barren season, right? Shelley, like you might have a like a dream that just really hasn't come to fruition for you. You might have some hopes that were dashed. You might have a situation where you have, you know, a child that has gone wayward. Those are barren seasons for all of us. And unfortunately, in barren seasons, like life does not stop lifing, right? The world does not stop because you've experienced some deep grief and you're getting it coming at you at a lot of different directions. And I think Hannah, she really experienced this. She was provoked, the Bible tells us, and it brings her to anguish. And what she does with it is really beautiful. She goes to the Lord and she prays and she worships. And it's in that worshiping, she really discovers who God is, who he is, and it changes her whole countenance, the Bible tells us. And I think there's something in there for us too. Like when we spend that time in meditation, when we spend that time before the Lord, we spend that time in prayer, we can really change our perspective. It may not change our circumstances, but it can provide us with peace. It can provide us with miraculous hope.
Is that a bit of your solid advice that you give in Barron, how to cope, helpful instruction for families and friends who struggle and how to support their loved one?
Yeah, so my book actually has that capacity to it. Like I found it very important to provide a lot of solid information for people trying to walk alongside someone, right? It's really hard to walk along somebody with a really unique grief story. And so I kind of went out of my way to provide just some solid tips for families, friends, clergy members who are trying to walk along someone who's going through this deep grief. I think the biggest things, kind of the top three that I talk about is one is presence, right? Like just be with them. You know, you don't have to say anything. We talked about saying the wrong things, right? You don't have to say anything, right? Just sit with them. Offer to go with them to their appointments. Offer just to sit with them in their house. Take them out of their house. Maybe you take them to make a little terrarium plant.
Thank you for bringing a terrarium plant. Please do not kill it, Shelley.
And then two, you know, really pray with them, right? Pray with them in that moment because they may not have the ability to really experience hope at that moment. They could be in a really desolate place. And so be willing to pray with them. Be willing to sit with them. And then maybe show up in a different way. Maybe that means you say, hey, I'd like to come to your house tomorrow and return all your Amazon returns. Maybe that means
practical stuff.
Yeah, right. Like I'll come do your laundry. Like don't say, what can I do? Because that person's already pretty overwhelmed, right? And so offer it, say, give tangible things of let me come mow your lawn, let me come walk your dog, let me come sit with you.
Such, had friends step up to the plate with that. How do I order your book, Miss Heather Levine?
Yeah, so it is available by pre-order right now on Amazon, and then on March 31st, it will be available where you can buy books.
Party at your place, Barron, a shared journey of infertility, loss, and faith, where you do explore lives of women in the Bible who suffered from infertility and childlessness. Thank you for sharing your journey, Heather.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Moving right along, good things to share when it comes to We, Your Messenger. Revive and Thrive is an organization that makes and delivers meals to those in our community navigating a health crisis. Let's get right into it. Executive Director Amy Thomas Melema with an update. Amy, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to our world of membership drive.
Thank you, Shelley. I really appreciate it.
Yes, as an organization of nonprofit, you can relate. Dollars, time, talents, and treasures important. Revive and Thrive. I even like the name. Tell me more.
Thank you. As you said, we provide medically supportive meals to people who are dealing with cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. We support not only the clients, but also their families, because we need to support everyone that's dealing with this crisis. If we provide meals for just mom or dad, what are they going to do? They're going to give those meals to the kiddo. So we've got to support the whole family.
Yes.
We also have a teen program where we get teens involved, and they get service hours if they need them, but also they learn about culinary, nutrition, and giving back to the community. They're in a kitchen where you can't have your phone in the kitchen. You need to interact and learn how to cook. It's a great experience.
Nice. Are you a firm believer that food is medicine?
Oh, 100%. That's what we do. We not only support our clients and our families through the meals, but we provide education, recipes, and information about community resources. Food is really the medicine. We promote that. We adhere to it.
Who are your customers? What's your geographical area? Who do you serve?
We service the whole Grand Rapids area, the greater Grand Rapids area. We're very heavily volunteer run. We have drivers, volunteer drivers that are delivering directly to our clients' homes. So if it is outside our service area and a client or a caregiver can meet our driver, we can do that.
Who's making the meals?
So we have a wonderful, amazing staff with a executive chef and some kitchen assistants, but it's mainly volunteers. As I said, we're heavily, heavily volunteer run. We have volunteers in the kitchen, we have volunteers packaging, we have our teen volunteers, and we have the drivers. The drivers are right now our biggest need. These drivers are amazing people that pick up the meals from where we're located at Grace Episcopal Church at 1815 Hall Street. And then they deliver them directly to our clients. They get to see the clients and meet with them, talk with them, check in on them.
Revive and Thrive, again, Executive Director Amy Thomas-Mellema with us. So, navigating a health crisis, talk more about eligibility, Amy.
Yep. It really is very simple. We're not income-driven. It's diagnosis, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. You don't need a provider referral. We have a form on our website. You fill out the form, and our client services manager will be in contact.
Yes. Do you need more volunteers?
We sure do. We have a volunteer orientation every single month. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up. It's very simple. Join our volunteer orientation, and we'll tell you, explain all of the different volunteer opportunities that we have.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about the history of Revive and Thrive. I should have started there, but I'm wondering how this came to be, how you determined this need.
Absolutely. Well, there is a need. We started in 2015 by Wendy Borden. Wendy is a nutritionist that was going through cancer, and as she was struggling with cancer and she had all that education and knowledge about nutrition, she wondered, what do other people do? We started with 12 cancer clients cooking out of Gilda's Club, and now last year we served over 26,000 meals, and we just recently installed a new walk-in cooler and a new commercial freezer, and we're hoping to serve over 35,000 meals. We always have a wait list. Demand is very high, so we are able to serve more people with that walk-in cooler. But then, as you know, what that means is we also need more donors. We're having our first 5K fundraiser. Shelly, that might be something you would be interested in.
So there's a Shelly Irwin 5K. Better not be April 25th.
It is not. Ooh. It's May 16th.
Okay.
May 16th in East Grand Rapids is a 5K. Go to our website. You can sign up. We need volunteers. We need runners. We need sponsors. It's a great opportunity for the family to come out. It's a community event. So please join us.
All right. So lots of action items there.
Yes.
It sounds like. Let me ask you one more time how to find out more about Revive and Thrive.
Go to our website at reviveandthrive.org.
Thanks to you and, of course, the good work you do, Amy Thomas-Mellema.